Paramahansa Prividakacharya Satadadatta Sisi Mahadisavangre Savaitanada Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Ananta Gaura Vaishnava Nikki Gaur Premanandi
Hari 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 Bol.
As long as it's my class, I can call the shots. Just Vaisan Sister Prabhupada and Panchatattva Mantra Hare Krishna class. Last time someone chanted Bolo Hare Krishna in my class, he was shot. He's buried underneath one of the trees over there in the garden.
No Bolo Hare Krishna.
Prabhupada stopped a roaring kirtan to tell someone not to don't add anything to the Maha Mantra, don't subtract anything, and don't change anything. 16 words, that's it. Okay, what did I do with my little blue guy? Always missing something. Here it is. That's a whole different course. I have a long course on kirtan reform. That's one of the points. Prabhupada didn't like Jai Gurudev. He said it was impersonal. Which Gurudev? And Bolo Hare Krishna or any other kind of adding anything Hare Krishna. Yeah, okay. Small thing. Not really part of the mantra, but
Vishnu Bhakti or Krishna?
Yeah, either one, Prabhupada. Either one's okay. The mantra is Vishnu Bhakti, but people wanted to chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Bhakti, they asked Prabhupada if it's okay. Prabhupada said it's okay. Yeah, the original verse is Vishnu Bhakti, and but people asked, could they chant Krishna Bhakti, Prabhupada said all that. So if you're one of those guys who likes to stick to the original verse, then Krishna Bhakti.
Is
Sri
Advaita as opposed to
Jai Advaita? Sri Advaita. As far as I know. That's how it's just, is in the books.
Oh, that's the original.
The way it is in the books. The Jaya was about Bhaja. Why Bhaja Sri Krishna Chaitanya? Prabhupada said Jaya Sri. Any other quick kirtan questions this morning?
Is Gurudev is so prevalent in ISKCON?
Oh, lots of things are prevalent in ISKCON. Sri Radhe, Jaya Radhe, Jaya Radhe, Prabhupada, that's another one. Prabhupada is like angry about.
What is the reason behind that? Why he's so angry about Jaya Radhe, Jaya
Madhe? You ever hear Prabhupada chant Jaya Radhe, Jaya Radhe?
No, Malab, there is no harm in chanting like
Radhe. No harm, except he said we should chant what our spiritual masters chanted. Our spiritual masters didn't chant Jai Radhe. We take it real, you know, we're all just chanting the holy name of Radharani, we're all into it. Prabhupada chanted Hare Krishna, everything's there. We have to add something, find something, do something, get the devotees into ecstasy. Prabhupada stopped kirtan again.
What about in Bombay? Was Ram Nomi something?
Yeah, even on Ram Nomi, the people were chanting what Raghupati Raghava Raga Raja Ram Prabhupada said, chant Hare Krishna. Prabhupada built the whole movement by chanting Hare Krishna. And we're going to add all these things to make it better.
What about Nitai Gauranga?
Yeah, Prabhupada didn't object to Nitai Gauranga. But Bhavananda Prabhu was talking to me this morning. He remembered that one time in Mayapur, Prabhupada said, they will chant Nitai Gauranga, and we will chant Hare Krishna and go back to Godhead.
I have a question. In the evening prayer, Gaurarti, there is a description of the worship of worship, and it says, Nikate Advaita Srini Vasa Chakra Dara. I heard one tape
Your Prabhupada chanted it differently.
Yeah, that because the Srinivas is not part of the Panchatattva, it's Srivas.
Yeah, but so then the original song is Advaita Srinivasa.
Okay.
But Prabhupada apparently remembered it the other way.
Do chant Srivas Prabhu chat
something. Prabhupada, you know, sometimes he remembered the songs a different way.
Okay.
Or he reversed a different way.
So what would you advise when somebody chanting, when somebody leading Kirtan and chants Jai Gurudev or Jai Radhe, what would you advise to follow us to do?
Got to have a big black cloth bag for men and go
and put it inside.
Just like that. And tie it up and. Excuse me? Senior persons? Well, if you do it, don't get caught.
Can I give you an example?
No, I'm not going to give any example of senior persons in my class. You mean name names or what?
No.
Okay.
Like,
senior men, if they do it, then hand the bag to another senior man. That's how you do it.
Yeah, that's how you do it.
This other senior wasn't available, but I was studying from one person. He's very senior to me. And we did Jidra Kirtan before, and he chanting Jai Guru there.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, in my
like
course, my proper
change,
course, if I do the whole thing, since I've let you in on a sneak preview of my full course, which costs only $50.
No, free.
Listen, don't tell me how much I'm going to charge for.
You can download it for free from Maharaj's webpage.
Ah, okay.
jaswami.com.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, thank you for telling me.
jaswami.info/something-or-other. You can find that course for downloads. In the course proper, I start with the disclaimer that, you know, all my friends and my favorite sannyasis and people's gurus and GBC men do all the things that I'm talking about in my course. They do one or another of them. So, you know, we respect them, but still, if you want to know what's in my course, this is what's in my course. Yeah.
What does this mean? That Srila Prabhupada was very cautious about deviation in our movement. Like
certainly it does mean that. He was particular. Not that anything's the name of Krishna, so anything goes. Notice, however, that they have reformed here and they've stopped chanting Yadavaya, Madhavaya, Keshavaya, Naman. They're actually chanting what Prabhupada asked us to chant. Araya Nama Krishna Yadavaya Nama Gopal Govindaram Srimad Vishuddhaya. So there's hope for the world. Because they were chanting the other thing and they changed.
The quotes right up on the wall.
Quotes up on the wall and still they were chanting the other thing.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
They've changed. So there's hope for the world. I think it's the good efforts of Naru Gopal and others. Yes?
And what about chanting name of Jesus?
Well, there's no law against chanting the name of the deities. You ever hear Prabhupada do it?
No, I hear Harishauri Prabhu was.
But my question, no, wasn't no, but did you ever hear Prabhupada do it?
No.
No.
And I didn't hear.
Did he love the deities?
Yes.
Did he love the deities?
Yes. I guess so.
Okay, I guess so too. He never did it. He never ended the kirtan with names of this deity. And because one thing leads to another. You know, well, we have Nitai Gaur, so we chant Nitai Gaur. Well, we have, you know, Radha Krishna, so we chant Radha Krishna. Although I heard somebody chanting, Jai Radha, Radha Krishna, Radha Krishna. You know, leads to. But then, you know. Then some other temple they had Ladu Gopal. Jai Radha, Ladu Gopal. Oh my God. Total rasabhas.
Yeah.
But you know, it's a pattern. Radha Jagannatha, I heard that too. You know, but people think that you're supposed to end the kirtan by chanting the names of your deities. in the set format. That's how one thing leads to another. Prabhupada chanted Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Hare Krishna, Vas. That's what Prabhupada chanted. And he told us to add, especially in Mayapur, these two lines. Haraya Nama Krishna Yadavaya Nama Gopal Govindaram Sri Madhusudan. That was Prabhupada. So you can add extra things if you want, I suppose, but that's what Prabhupada did.
And what about chanting Jai Srila Prabhupada?
Yeah, we did that in Prabhupada's time. He didn't object. We did that in Prabhupada's time, and he didn't object.
What about songs that were not written by our acharyas, but the traditional Hindi, Bengali? But
thumbs down.
But famous Prabhupada disciples were singers in ISKCON. Famous always when they sing.
Famous, everything that I'm down on, one or another famous ISKCON devotee does. But Prabhupada said we should chant what has been chanted by the acharyas. Even there's a book, more songs by the Vaishnava acharyas, and they've included, you know, like some Hindi bhajans, and the source is traditional Hindi bhajan. Is that a Vaishnava acharya? No. Just means somebody heard it on the street in Vrindavan, so they chant it. We hear this Radhe, Radhe, Shamila, you know, all this kind of stuff that people, you know, they go to Vrindavan, they go to Govardhan. Whatever they hear on the street must be authorized. That's not our process. Even people with, you know, as is the tradition in Vrindavan, Prabhupada would take his morning walk on Bhaktivedanta Swami Mark, which at that time was like deserted practically, wasn't all built up. And, you know, few people, there wasn't all cars and trucks and all that rubbish. It was, you know, practically just a few people walking. So Prabhupada would take his morning walk. And some, you know, gentlemen would be coming the other way, and he would offer Prabhupada respects in the traditional Vrindavan way by saying, Jai Radhe. And Prabhupada would answer in his traditional way by saying, Hare Krishna. I was walking in Vrindavan one time on Parikrama, and some, like, you know, elderly Gujarati pilgrims, I think, were walking the other way, and some devotees were in ecstasy. They chanted out to the pilgrims, "Gauranga!" And the pilgrims blinked their eyes. You know, they wanted to respond appropriately. They blinked their eyes, and you could see them doing like a thought search. You know, what should we do? So they answered, Hare Krishna. Okay, are we ready for Bhagavad Gita as it is?
Do we get a different result by saying Bol Hare Krishna?
Or no?
Do you get a different result? Yes, you displease the previous acharya. What about Bhajani Bhai, like Jiva Goswami, you know, intimate? Intimate is out. Who are we for intimate bhajans? Gita Govinda is explicitly out. Except the Dashavatar Stotra is approved. But, you know, who are we that we're... Prabhupada, do you want to add an additional song that you hardly ever hear and you want to, you know, like, really add something that people haven't heard before? Add the songs that Prabhupada wrote himself, which unfortunately hardly anyone ever chants, but they're, you know, deep, deep songs. You want to add something that you don't usually hear, add that. Not, you know, your latest news from the Kunjas, we're just not doing. Okay. You have any more questions on that stuff? You can ask, you know, one a day or something.
What about
one a day. One a day. One a day. Tomorrow. Save it. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gaudavani Pacharane Nirvishay Shishunyavadi Pashtipadeva. We're beginning chapter 3. We really are. Arjuna Uvacha, Jaya Si Chet Karmana Ste Mata Buddhir Janardana Titkam Tat Kim Karmani Gaure Mam Tat Kim Karmani Gaure Mam Niyo Jaya Si Keshava. So Krishna has talked about Buddhi Yoga, and he's talked about Karma Yoga, or he's talked about karma actually. Do your work, Karma Nyevadikada Ste. So Arjuna is asking, what is his question?
Intelligence.
What's the question in general, in your own words? Yes. Yeah. Well, we know, why are you engaging me in this warfare, but what's so contradictory about that? What's the problem specifically? There's a contradictory part. You're engaging me in this warfare, and at the same time, what?
And you're saying that you should do your activities.
Huh?
At the same time, you're saying that you should do your activities.
That's the same thing. You're saying do the activities, fight. What's on the other side?
That's fruity work. But you say that intelligence is better than that. So why do you want me to engage it?
Yeah, you're telling me do Buddhi Yoga. So when I'm supposed to be doing Buddhi Yoga, which means, you know, using my intelligence and, you know, understanding things still, you know, I should be a philosopher. When you're telling me to be a philosopher and do Buddhi Yoga, why are you telling me, you know, to go out there and fight the battle of Kurukshetra? And, you know, kill my grandfather and kill my Guru Maharaj and kill my friends and my relatives. Why are you telling me that at the same time that you're telling me to be philosophical? That's the question. It seems to me that you're giving opposite instructions. So, tadekam varanishchitya yena shreyoham apniyat. Please tell me definitely which of these two things I'm supposed to be doing. Yena shreyoham apniyat, by which I can get shreya. What's shreya? Shreya, Shreya?
Benefit or shelter?
Huh?
Shelter.
No, benefit. Absolutely not. Shreya does not mean shelter. Long-term benefit. What's the co-term or opposite term?
Shreya.
Which means?
Short-term,
immediate benefit. So Shreya means long-term benefit. What's ultimately beneficial? That's what I want to hear about. I'm confused because you're telling me two different things, it seems to me. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Lokesmin Dividha Nishta Pura Prokta Mayanaka, Jnana Yogena Sankhyanam, Karma Yogena Yogina. So Krishna says, yes, I've already said there are two kinds of people. Some want to understand things by Sankhya, which doesn't mean Sankhya philosophy. We've already been through that. What does Sankhya mean?
Analytical
analysis, knowledge through analysis. Speculation, basically. Jnana yogena sankhyanam, karma yogena yogina. There are those who are engaged to understand it by working, actually. Karma yogena yogina. They're the karma yogis, and then there are these jnanis, or jnana yogis. Jnana yogena. Some by karma yoga, some by jnana yoga. So Krishna says that if you think that you're going to do jnana yoga right now and be a philosopher, we have news for you. You're not meant for that. Simply retiring to the forest and philosophizing. Nakarmanam anarambham naishkarmyam purushoshmate nacha sanyasadad eva siddhim samadhi gacchati. Because people may very well think that now I'm going to take the spiritual life. And people do think that. Now I'm ready for spiritual life. So I'm going to leave home, I'm going to quit my job, I'm going to ditch my wife and meditate or study the shastras, all of that. Krishna says, it's not that simply by giving up your activities you get freedom from reaction. Arjuna, sin will overtake us if you fight. Krishna says, not that if you don't fight, sin won't overtake you. Rather, it will overtake you for not fighting. And nacha sannyasana adeva siddhim samadhi gacchati. It's not that you're going to attain perfection by simply taking sannyas or living like a sannyasi, going off to the far, you know, better to live by begging. No, it's not better to live by begging. If actually everyone could attain perfection by begging, I'd advise everyone to go out and be a beggar. But that's not Bhagavad Gita. Not simply giving up work, not simply sannyas. Why? Prabhupada said, because we have to purify our hearts. And if we simply jump to sannyas without purification of heart, there's going to be problems. And we'll find out about that in coming verses. Nahi kaschit kshanamapi jatutistatya karmakrit. Karyate hyavasha karma sarva prakriti jargana. Everyone has to work. No one can stop working even for a moment. Kshana means an instant, a moment. No one can not act. Even for a moment. We're always doing something. Karyate hi avasha. This word will come up several times in Bhagavad Gita. Avasha means
helplessly.
It comes from vasha. Vasha means, we just read it, vashehi yasyendriyani. Vash means vashati.
Pain.
Vashati means
take it.
Control.
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 Opposite.
And avasha means out of my control.
No control.
Helplessly. Yavasha. Out of my control. Helplessly. I think I'm right about that. Without looking at my dictionary, it seems that's right, if I recall. Avasha means help. In any case, helplessly. Not under your control. You're helpless. You know, when those big waves come along. Anyone ever been carried off by a big wave? I was, actually, one time. These things happen. So we know that it happens. Mm-hmm. And then we're helpless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're helpless. We can't do anything.
It's
you know, powers beyond beyond us.
Are you in Hawaii?
In Hawaii, that happens also. Or just forces beyond our control. Even in legal agreements, they say, you know, we're not responsible for acts of God. You know, things that are beyond that, because it's beyond anyone's control. Avasha. Then we're helpless. So, prakriti jayagunai, sarva prakriti jayagunai, everyone has his qualities that he's born with, the qualities that he's acquired from material nature, and everyone therefore has to act. You can't tell the birds, don't chirp. You can't tell a kshatriya, don't fight. Later in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, if you think that you're not going to fight, mityaisha vyavasayaste, you're an illusion. Mm-hmm. Because you're going to have to fight anyway. Mm-hmm. Because your nature is going to force you to fight. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvati. By the influence of nature, we have to act, and we have to act in a certain way. Women will act like women. Mm-hmm. can't say, you know, to a woman, don't act like a woman. She'll act like a woman. Because she's a woman. She has the qualities that a woman is. Even if she, you know, doesn't act like a woman, she'll be a woman not acting like a woman.
It's true.
Which is a different thing.
Hare Krishna.
Children will act like children, men will act like men. So, Sarva Prakriti Jagana, according to the qualities we've acquired, everyone's going to act a certain way. And therefore, the Varnashram system is set up in such a way that everyone's engaged in Swadharma, a particular kind of work. The spirit soul is active. It's not only the body, it's the soul that's active. In contact with the material energy, the soul acquires material modes. And to purify the soul from such affinities, it's necessary to engage in the prescribed duties enjoined in the Shastras. That's Swadharma. But then Prabhupada said, if someone takes to Krishna, he's quoting Bhagavatam, if the soul is engaged in his natural function of Krishna consciousness, whatever he's able to do is good for him. Chaktva Swadharmam Charanam Bhujam Harer Vajanna Pakvota Patetato Yadi Yatra Kovabhadram Abhudamushakim Kovarta Apto Vajatam Swadharmata. Okay, even if someone takes to Krishna consciousness and doesn't follow all the prescribed duties, still whatever he does is all right. Now, there's no loss. Not whatever he does is no all right, but there's no loss even if immaturely he falls down. And if he does everything but doesn't become Krishna conscious, he's wasted his time. But Prabhupada finally says, so the purificatory process is necessary for reaching this point of Krishna consciousness. There needs to be some purifying process. Therefore, sannyas, or any purificatory process, is to help reach the ultimate goal of becoming Krishna conscious.
So this karta aham iti manyate means, you know, ahankar, you know that. So who's the doer? Like, I'm boarding
an
air.
We're coming to that a little later. We'll explain that verse later. But in fact, we'll go into it in detail.
Okay.
Yes?
I wonder, because today we were speaking that actually in order to gain devotion of service, you don't need to become for that cured by some other method.
Right.
But here you said that...
No, you can become Krishna conscious, but suppose I say, well, now I've taken to Krishna consciousness, so I'm going to take sannyas.
Mm.
Yeah, okay. What happens? Sannyas today, grahastha tomorrow. Or, now I've taken to Krishna consciousness, I'm going to go to Radhakund and live there and just chant Hare Krishna and, you know, absorb myself in Krishna's sweet transcendental pastimes. And, you know, 2 weeks later he's found a sweetie pie out in Radhakund and
he's gone.
He's gone.
He's gone, yeah.
So, therefore, the spiritual masters prescribe for us how to act. And, you know, it's not that Krishna doesn't want Arjuna to be Krishna conscious. He doesn't tell Arjuna, my dear Arjuna, don't take up devotional service. But, if you think that you're going to attain perfection in Krishna consciousness or anything else just by giving up your prescribed duties, that's not how you do it. It's not that you purify your heart just by giving up the work that's prescribed for you. That's not the way to do it. That's what Krishna's saying here. And there's people who think that. They think that spiritual life begins when you just give up everything. Not quite like that. Some other questions? Now we get to, you know, very explicitly Krishna is being strong here. Karmendriyani samyamya yaaste manasa smaran indriyartan vimudhatma. There's that vimudha again. Mityachara suuchyate. Someone is controlling his senses, but inwardly, his mind is on sense gratification. So he's a pretender. He's making a bluff that I'm, you know, following the footsteps of Rupa Goswami or Haridas Thakur. But if you look, and, you know, if you could shine a flashlight inside his mind, X-rated. So what's the point of that? Krishna says he's just fooling himself. He deludes himself, and he's a pretender. Mithyachara. It's hypocrisy. Making a show of meditation while actually meditating on sense gratification. Seems that the ladies can spot these people pretty quickly. They have a slang term, and a term I was told among the brahmacharinis in America. I don't, you non-Americans wouldn't appreciate it because you don't have the context, but at least we have a couple of Americans here. They call them creamsicles. You know what a creamsicle is? It's a kind of a, you know, these ice cream trucks that go around and sell different kinds of ice cream? Nope. There's a kind of ice cream which is like vanilla ice cream on a stick with a kind of a coating around it. You know those coatings, like chocolate coatings and so on? This is an orange coating. Mm-hmm. So it's vanilla ice cream in the center with this orange coating on the outside. Creamsicle. Iti Shusha Madhira. This is what we've heard as far as by disciplic succession is brahmacharini slang.
Yes. Called the OC.
They call them what?
The OC. OC.
OC. OC means?
Orange Club.
Orange Club. You know, they're just pretending to be something they're not. Now, that doesn't say one shouldn't follow the path of brahmacharya life. That's not the point. But to make a big show of being, you know, sometimes we see this show of, you know, being the most renounced, and like the woman passes by. This pivot to thought. And then, you know, shortly thereafter, they're married to one.
When the sun sets.
I heard one devotee get conscious said that those who see all women as stool, in some time in the future, they'll be like hogs, they'll be able to eat that stool.
Yeah. Attachment and aversion. So the point is not that one shouldn't follow the principles of brahmacharya life or strive to be free from association of women. But the point is that to do that, one has to purify the heart. And to do that, it's not just by sitting. It's not just by sitting and philosophizing. It's by practical activity according to our nature or according to the orders of the bona fide spiritual master. It's not by inaction. I'll just sit here and chant and chant and chant and chant and be free from all. You know, who can do it? If you're Haridas Thakur, it's great. If you're not Haridas Thakur, why pretend to be Haridas Thakur? Okay. Yastrindriyani manasa niyamya rabate Arjuna karmendriyai karma yogam asakta sabhishishyate. On the other hand, if a sincere person tries to control the active senses by the mind and begins karma yoga in Krishna consciousness without attachment, he is by far superior. Some people have criticized, try, Jayadvaita Swami put in try. In the original Bhagavad Gita, it just said, control the senses. Of course, it's Prabhupada. Prabhupada's Arabate begins karma yoga. These are all, this is exactly taken from Prabhupada. So, this is the point, that it's not simply open to the persons who are philosophical and who are capable of simply studying and chanting and, no, renounced sannyasis and brahmacharis, anyone. Householder can take to Krishna consciousness. Anyone can take to Krishna consciousness by proper engagement. And it's better to be honestly engaged in sincere service than to make a show of being Haridas Thakur. We saw the poster, we talked about the poster, Haridas Thakur smiling at the prostitute as if to say, you're out of your mind. But if we try to imitate Haridas Thakur, we'll wind up smiling at the prostitute too.
In a different mood.
With a different idea in mind. So there's no point pretending to be Haridas Thakur if we're not. Clear? Questions? Yes.
Karma yoga in Krishna consciousness. There is another karma yoga without Krishna consciousness?
No. Yoga means Krishna consciousness. As soon as you add yoga there, it means linking. Linking with what? Linking with the Supreme. Who's the Supreme? That's Krishna.
So, is there some other process which is called karma yoga?
No. There's karma. Just worship the demigods and do pious activities. And that's called karma. But karma yoga means how you've connected yourself with Krishna.
Karma mishra bhakti.
Karma Mishra Bhakti. Yes?
Also, what is it in life where within this time for you
to... Excuse me, just to interrupt you and add one more thing. Yoga also means plus. Another meaning of yoga is plus.
Oh,
okay. Yoga means minus.
Say that again?
Yoga means plus.
Okay.
Yoga means minus.
Yoga.
Yeah, it's another meaning of the. The means can also mean without.
Mm-hmm.
So, commentators can have a lot of fun with that. It means intensely or it means without it. So, yoga means plus. Plus what? Plus Krishna. Yes, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Also, you have a state in life where you think that it's time for you to be in spiritual life.
Excuse me?
You are a state in life where you think it's time for you to be in spiritual life. You're tired of all this material.
Yeah.
The situation around you is not conducive. Should you just leave it and...
One has to be properly advised. The situation is not conducive, but in the material world, no situation is conducive. Some situation is more conducive than others. But if I go looking for the perfect situation, you get these people who are going from one temple to the next, to the next, to the next.
Mm.
They're looking for the right situation. And Prabhupada's comment was that they're sexually agitated. Because their minds are unsteady, the body is following the mind from place to place to place to place. So in that circumstance, better to sit down in one place, get your mind into some serious service here, and, you know, that's conducive. If your mind is not, if you're not properly engaged, Mayapur won't be conducive. Vrindavan won't be conducive. No place will be conducive.
How do you think to that? Are you going to, you know, like, get job for nothing? Your job is on
even that, sometimes Prabhupada would see that better for this person to be engaged in the so-called unconducive environment for the service of Krishna. Either because, for example, he's bringing in money and we need it.
Yeah.
In the beginning, Prabhupada had some of the senior devotees, they were working to support the temple. Under that circumstance, I quit is unconducive to Krishna consciousness. Because the spiritual master wants you to do it. I quit, I'm going to go live in the temple with the brahmacharis and chant Hare Krishna all day. No, you make more progress working. Then in some other circumstance, what is the use of simply working? Why don't you be engaged in some serious Krishna consciousness? So the spiritual master has the discrimination to see. For this disciple, working is very good. For this disciple, quitting work is very good. So for our Krishna's disciple here, quitting work is not at all good. Huh? Yeah, we may consider, just like I got a letter from someone who's working at a hotel at night, and his mind is agitated. You know, it's one of those hotels where they rent rooms by the hour.
Oh my God.
By the hour, yeah.
You know, so I advised him that if you could, it would be a good idea to change your job. Although, chances are you can't. And in fact, in his case, he couldn't. It was very difficult for him to, you know, so under the circumstances, one has to make the best of whatever. But if you have a job like that, and if you can get out of it, yeah, good. One has to see under proper guidance. Yes. Time. We started late.
Yeah.
We're not going to get anywhere if we stop now. Can we handle going straight through?
Yeah.
All right. So, someone is simply controlling his senses outwardly, but inside he's thinking on sense gratification. Ya, tu means on the other hand, but indriyani manasa niyamya arabate arjuna. On the other hand, someone by his mind and controls his senses and begins karma yoga, karmendriyai, engaging his active senses, asakta, and without attachment, sa vishishyate, he's better. Better than, you know, just being a philosopher and sitting around all day thinking of sex. Better to engage your active senses in practical activity, and in that way, for the satisfaction of Krishna. Varnashrama acharavata, Vishnu arajita. Worship Krishna by your activity. And purify the heart. Clear? Yes.
So if one guru tells him, you go to job and make money for me, for movement?
Yeah, if the spiritual master says work.
Is it karma yoga or is it pure devotional service?
We don't make you don't need to make a distinction. It's his consciousness. Someone is doing it, you know, because he really is attached to the work. So the spiritual master says, yes, you work and make money. Someone else is not at all interested in the work, but because the spiritual master is telling him to do it, he's doing it. So asakta, he's detached, that's higher. So it depends. Two people in the up, but generally Prabhupada takes the approach that karma yoga means devotional service. Now, there some of the commentators, they say, well, no, karma yoga is not really devotional service. It's, you know, getting you ready for devotional service. But either way you look at it, this is the way for becoming connected with Krishna. That's why it's called yoga. Niyatam kuru karma tvam karma jayo hyakarmanaha sharira yachapi tate na prasidyet akarmana. This is practical. You can't even maintain your body without working. The Prabhupada makes things very clear here. Arjuna was a householder, a military general. Better for him to stay as such and perform his duties, religious duties, as prescribed for the householder kshatriya. Such activities gradually cleanse the heart of a mundane man and free him from material contamination. So-called renunciation for the purpose of maintenance is never approved by the Lord nor any religious scripture. That's really condemned. You know, I'm working. Why should I work? I could sit by the side of Govardhan Hill set up, you know, a little deity, or, you know, people get different gimmicks that they set up that attract attention, and, you know, support my wife and family that way. Become a sadhu. There's so many people who are sadhus for the sake of earning a living. That's not appreciated. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had some verse about that, or something that he said about that. But it's very, I remember that better to be an honest, what is it? Sleeper in the street?
Yeah,
than a charlatan meditator?
Yeah, yeah.
Huh? Yeah. You know, better to go out and do some honest work. You know, sadhus. Bah! What kind of sadhu are you? Dushtaman. You polluted mind. Tumi kishera Vaishnava. What kind of Vaishnava are you? Pratishthara. Tava Harinam Kevala Koita. You're chanting Hare Krishna just to make a show. And it's sitting in a solitary place, imitating Rupa Sanatan. And why Pratishthara? For fame, you know. I'm chanting Pratishthara. Just to get attract attention, especially female attention. Tava Harinam Kevala Koita. Your Harinam is just cheating. So rather than cheating, better that you do some honest work. And think of Krishna, offer the results to Krishna. You know, why? It's not like you have to be a sannyasi, you have to be a, you know, something that you're not. No, it's Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Yes.
Some devotees that sincerely they do their prescribed service in the temple, and at the same time during their free time they chant extra rounds.
Yeah, that's good. We're not against chanting Hare Krishna, reading the books, doing all of these, worshipping the deities, but simply to give up my work. Prabhupada gave the example that some African boy came here to Mayapur.
Shamba.
And he, you know, like set up a hut someplace way out in the fields in the days where, you know, this was all fields basically. You know, went out way out someplace, made himself a little hut and was chanting day and night. And after a week, he was never seen again. I know of a devotee. He was a sannyasi actually. And he was in Vrindavan, and Prabhupada engaged him in, you know, starting the construction or working on the construction activities for the Krishna Balaram temple. And his idea was to, you know, get deep into bhajan. So he left. And later I met him, he'd left Krishna consciousness, in fact. He said that, you know, Prabhupada should have known this wasn't my propensity. Mm. My propensity was to do bhajan, and he was just engaging me with bricks. So he became like a sahajya. Now he's married. He became a sahajya because he was, you know, bricks and construction, and, you know, this is all. But that was Prabhupada's way of purifying the heart. Be engaged day and night in activity for Krishna. Not simply, you know, meditating on your, you know, what color sari you wear in the spiritual world. For those who are advanced in devotional service, who are pure in heart, they can think of these things. What's the symptom that they're pure in heart? They have no material desires. Especially sex desire. The hearts are completely pure. What is that? Yeah, pure. Vishaya Charya Kabe Shuddha Habiman. Narottam Das Thakur says, when will I give up all sense gratification so that my mind will be pure? Then I'll be able to understand Radha Krishna, Vrindavan, all of those things. But if I try to understand those things, enter into those things, meditate on those things, read books and books about those things, while my heart is still full of junk, the result is, Prabhupada said, that instead of being purified, you'll be putrefied. So everything, step by step, krame krame. So now Krishna says, Niyatam kuru karma, tvam karma jayo hyakarmanaha, sharira yachapi chate na prasidyeda karma. Better for you to perform your prescribed duty. You have to do something, you can't just not act. If you think you'll get out of the battle of Kurukshetra, no, I won't fight, I refuse to act, I'll be neutral and unengaged, you're dreaming. Because by your nature, you'll be helplessly forced to act. You'll be forced to act. So better to act in Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada, if you read all these purports, work should not be given up capriciously without purification of materialistic propensities. Okay? Moving on. Yagyartat karmana anyatra loko yam karma bandhana tarartam karma kaunteya mukta sangha samacha. Prabhupada quotes this verse very often, actually, that yagya should be performed, or work should be performed for yagya. Mm-hmm. Yagya means?
Sacrifice.
And here it specifically means? Vishnu. Yagya by Vishnu. Prabhupada quotes. Does he quote? Yes, he does quote. Yagyo by Vishnu. That sacrifice is meant for the satisfaction of Vishnu. Varnashrama charvata purushena parapuman Vishnu aradyate panta nanyatatoshatan. That varnashram, duties and sacrifices and so on, all come from varnashram. And the purpose of varnashram is to satisfy Vishnu. So sacrifice really means acting for the sake of Vishnu. And if you do something else, anyatra, some other kind of work, karma bandhana, you'll be entangled. By acting for Vishnu, you become unentangled. By acting any other way, entangled. Mukta sangha samatra, you'll be liberated from material association by tadartam karma, acting for the sake of Vishnu. And you do it any other way, entangled. Clear? Okay, then, saha yagya praja shrishtva puro vacha prajapati anena prasha vishyadvam mesha vo svishta kamadhuk. In the beginning of creation, the Lord of all creatures sent forth generations of men and demigods along with sacrifices for Vishnu and blessed them by saying, be thou happy by this sacrifice, because its performance will bestow upon you everything desirable for living happily and achieving liberation. This be happy, everything desirable for living happily and achieving liberation is not literally there in the verse, but Srila Prabhupada has taken it from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Bengali.
Is this indicating the main purpose of the material creation as a sacrifice for Vishnu?
Yeah. That's called marma, by the way. The translators use that. Isn't that what in Bengali they use that word in the commentaries?
Marma.
Marma, huh? Marma means the essence of the thing. the essence. Sar, marma, meaning is the same. Means the essence of the thing. The acharyas, you know, they'll paraphrase the verse in such a way as to say, this is the essence, marma. Iti artha, iti marma. So this is the iti sar, iti, there's other words that they use that way. There's another word escaping my mind for the moment. Iti artha, very often. This is the meaning. This is the essence. Sar, marma. So Prabhupada's giving the essential meaning. It means be happy in this life and go, just Prabhupada said, chant Hare Krishna, be happy in this life and next life go back to Godhead. Sankirtan Yajna. And, yes. Prajapati here, Prabhupada says, means Vishnu. I've seen elsewhere where some our Gaudiya commentators have said it means Lord Brahma. Either way, Lord Brahma is the agent of Lord Vishnu. But this is, as you said, the purpose of creation. Whatever you get, use that for sacrifice. Use that for Vishnu. And the yajna in this age, Prabhupada points out, is Sankirtan yajna. Easy and sublime. Now we're going to have another one of those progressions where there's several verses that go together and make a, they build on one another. Devan pavyate pavyatanena te deva pavyantuva parasparam pavyanta shreya param avapsyata. Devan, because according to the Varnashram system, one has to worship the demigods by different sacrifices. But the ultimate goal of the sacrifice is to satisfy Vishnu. But to do that, one offers sacrifices to the demigods also. So, when you offer sacrifice to the demigods, they'll also offer back to you. Mm-hmm. Give and take. Paraspara. That comes up later in Bhagavad Gita. Bodhyanta Parasparam. You'll do something for them, they'll do something for you. That's called cooperation. You cooperate with this system of yajna and acknowledge the superiority of the head of the water department, the head of the sun department, the head of the moon department, and they'll also supply. They'll be pleased and they'll say, yeah, okay, these guys are legal. They accept and they offer. Otherwise, in the next verse, the person who doesn't offer anything back is described as a thief. Ishtan bhogani bo deva dasyante yagya bhavita tayar dattan apradayai bhyo yos punkte stain evasa. You're getting from the demigods, it's your duty to offer them sacrifice, to acknowledge their contribution. It's like paying tax. Mm-hmm. You get something, but you got to pay. If you don't pay, what are you? You're a thief. You're taking all the benefits from the government, but you're not paying your taxes. You're a thief. So pay your taxes and take your benefits. Otherwise, if you think, no, I'll just take the benefits, you're a thief. This worship of the demigods is also, why is Krishna, if he's speaking of karma yoga, encouraging Arjuna to worship the demigods? Yes, this is also karma yoga. That I'm worshiping the demigods, seeing that the demigods are the agents of Krishna. Even if you don't, still you're making progress. Mm-hmm. The lowest guy is the guy who says, well, it's all here, and whatever I can get my hands on is mine. My philosophy is you work for it, and whatever you get, that's yours.
man gets by his hard work. There ain't no other way, nothing comes.
Yeah, he's on the bottom. It's just like, there's just nature and me. Mm-hmm. And my job is to conquer nature and get what I need.
I steal a lot, I get a lot.
Yeah, the more you steal, the more you get. That's his philosophy. Then one step up from him is the person, and there are a lot of cultures all over the world, they acknowledge that there's some, you know, higher power. You know, the American Indians had theirs, the Incas and the Aztecs had theirs, the Hindus have theirs. They acknowledge that there are higher powers that are in control of these things. And they offer respect and worship to those higher powers. Hey, you just made progress. Because now you're acknowledging that there's a higher authority. Now you're acknowledging that it's not just you. Now you're acknowledging that it's coming down. So you're in a hierarchy here. Now all you have to do is see who's at the top of the chain. But at least you see that there is a chain. At least you see that there is a higher reality, a higher source beyond just nature itself. There are demigods, there are authorities who are controlling nature. I have some obligations to please them because they're doing something for me, I should do something for them. So you're more advanced. Even though you're not really where you need to be for getting out of the material world, but you just made progress from being completely in illusion to being a participant in a divine system. You've acknowledged that there's a divinity here. There are celestial beings that control things, and that I can't get things just by my own work, but I have to please these celestial powers. That's progress.
Is that a gyata sukriti?
No, it's not a gyata sukriti. It's gyata. A gyata sukriti means you don't know what you're doing. This is gyata sukriti. It's sukriti means good work or pious activity. Bhakti sukriti. It's sukriti. It's good work. Just by doing this, you won't come. Of course, in the course of doing this, you have to offer worship to Vishnu. It's built into the system. Your real goal is to get to Shiva or Durga or Indra and please them. But in the course of doing these sacrifices, you have to worship Vishnu. Even in all the mantras, Om, Om Namo Shivaya, Om Indraya Nama, Om. It's always Om. What is Om? Om is addressing the Supreme. Who is the Supreme? Krishna. So even in the course of your sacrifice for the demigods, you're coming in touch with the Supreme.
So that's giving merits to actually giving qualification to his
God? Yeah, he's making progress. He's acknowledged a higher authority. He's at least vaguely aware that there might be some higher power beyond all these authorities. He's making progress. And when he really makes progress, he understands that behind all of these is Vishnu. When we get, now we're in Karma Yoga in the first six chapters, when we get to the middle six chapters, Krishna's going to have a different view about worshipping the demigods. But here, you're just getting started. So, all right, this is good. Perform these yajñas. There's Panchashuna yajña. There's five kind of standard yajñas that the householder is obliged to perform and to get freed from reactions incurred in normal daily activities. So this yajña system is recommended for the ordinary person. Yes. Therefore, Prabhupada is talking about that in this verse, that the demigod agents of the Lord everything's coming from these agents of the Lord, one has to acknowledge the agent of the Lord. Okay. Otherwise, you're a thief. The lowest people, they're just thieves. Take it and run. Now, okay, we're doing yajna. That's better.
Nanda Maharaj went to do the yajna for Indra. And the Supreme Lord stopped him.
Yeah.
Now, Nanda Maharaj is a Vaishya and doing his prescribed duty.
That means finally Krishna is saying Sarvadharman Pratyajya.
No, but why?
Because no, Krishna doesn't want him just doing all this. He wants, you know, don't stay in fourth grade forever, kids. Grow up. Fourth grade is not bad. But, you know, if you're 35 years old sitting in the fourth grade classroom, something's wrong. So, in the beginning, these things are good. Just like worshiping the universal form. In the second canto, it's recommended. This is the first... the beginning. First, there's worship of demigods, there's worship of the universal form. They're closely related. This demigod represents this part of the universal form, that demigod, that part of the universe. Even the nature worshippers. These days we have these people, they have the idea that the earth is some sort of deity.
Mm-hmm.
They're a little more advanced than the guys who say the earth isn't, yeah, there's no kind of deity here. Well, it's just stuff meant for us to get.
Like the moon.
Yeah, you know, it's if we can grab it, it's ours. They're thieves. Then you get these people, they're a little up, they have the idea that, no, the earth is a goddess. The earth is, you know, itself is divine. So they're really on the material platform. They haven't gone beyond material nature. But they've started to get the idea that there's some divine aspect behind material nature. So they're a little bit up. Then if you actually come into the Vedic system, you come to know about these different deities who are in charge of different things. And as you come up more, you come to know that behind them is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it's a step-by-step-by-step-by-step progress. Not just, okay guys, throw everything away, here's Radhakun, jump in. And when you jump out, you'll be in your sarup. It's step by step, just as in we're reading in Nectar of Devotion, even Bhakti, there's step by step by step by step. So even in the beginning, worship the demigods even. Just don't be a thief.
Even lower than that, but which is the most common place, is to recognize human authority.
Even that is good. Even to recognize a human authority is good. Therefore, the human society is arranged in such a way that there are authorities, there are kings, there are, you know, the story is there about the man who wanted to serve the greatest person. You know about that? So he like became the servant of the mayor. Then he saw that the mayor was serving the governor, so he said, heck with this, I'm going to serve the governor. They saw that the governor was serving the king, so hey, I'm going to serve the king.
Mm-hmm.
They saw the king is going out into the forest. So we followed him out one day, so wow, the king is taking these flowers and everything, he's offering them to this sadhu. So he thought, wow, I'm going to serve the sadhu. The sadhu must be the greatest. Then the sadhu told him, no, I'm engaged in the service of personality of Godhead. He's the greatest. So in that way, by serving someone, he gradually came up. The person who thinks, I don't serve no one. He's servant of his senses and he's an illusion. Even the social system was arranged in such a way, you know, the woman is serving her husband, the husband is supposed to be serving God. The sudra is serving the master is supposed to be engaged, suppose the master is a Vaishya, so he should be engaged in serving the Brahmins. Brahmins engaged in serving the Lord. In this way, you know, you're part of a system, a chain, which goes up to the Lord. Everyone's making progress. Now we want, you know, everything's flat. and everybody's in charge, you know, the government by the people, and you come up with, I found a good word the other day, cacistocracy. Cacistocracy. Great word, I'm going to use it a lot. You know what cacistocracy is? Government by the worst of men. That's what it means.
A dictionary?
Yeah, it's a dictionary word. Government by the worst of men, cacistocracy.
Is it from Latin, tacisto?
Greek.
What is tacisto?
Rule by the worst. Ocracy, you know. Kratzy, rule.
How do you actually spell it?
K-A-K-I-S-T-O. Cacistocracy. Great word. I'm going to use it a lot. This is the age for that word.
Uh-huh, yeah. It was given a long time ago.
Very simple scripture, Karma Yoga. Krishna is spreading this circle of sacrifice for the demigods.
Yeah, well, we're coming to that.
So this is Karma Yoga?
Yes.
Also, like when we do service for Krishna, like we will be going to jobs, but we do it without attachment and other fruits we offer. In devotional service, that's Karma Yoga.
Yes.
So what is Karma?
There's, you'll find these things commented on by different acharyas in different ways. From one point of view, they'll say, no, this is not really devotional service, this is just Karma Yoga. Prabhupada takes the point of view that all of this is part of devotional service. That this is also devotional service. Even in the next verse, Yogya Shishtashana Santo Muchante Sarva Kilbishai Punjate Te Tukam Papa Ye Pachanti Atmakarna. That these persons, saintly persons, take the remnants of sacrifice and they're freed from all sins. And the sinful persons, they just eat food for sense gratification. Now some commentators say that means they take the remnants of the offerings to the demigods. And in that way, they're freed from sins. And that's an acceptable reading. But Prabhupada's reading is that santa means the devotees, and sacrifice means your offerings to the Lord, and the yagyashishta means prasadam, Krishna prasadam. So these verses can be read in different ways, but whichever way you read them, the Vaishnavacharyas always get to the same, you know, whether they take this road or that road or another road, they always wind up in the same place. And if you follow Shankaracharya's road, you wind up in the other place. So we don't follow that road. We avoid that road. Yeah, okay. You want to be my friend? Okay. So again, different readings. You can take this as being the offerings to the demigods, but Prabhupada, you know, takes the direct route and says devotional service. Santa means devotees. Santa sadeva hridayeshu balokim. Yes?
They're trying to relate to very fast.
Yeah. Yes, they're santas. Okay, next verse. Annad bhavanti bhutani parjanyad anya sambhavaha yagyad bhavati parjanyo yagya karma samudbhava. Now we get explicitly into this progression. Prabhupada at one point began quoting this verse very often. He focused on this verse. So it's not a question of religion, this is practical. All living beings depend on food. Anyad bhavanti bhutani. Not a question of whether you're Hindu or you're Muslim or you're an atheist or whatever, everyone depends on food, and parjanyaranyasambhava. And food depends on rain. Even if you're an animal killer, the animal eats grass and the grass comes from rain. So everyone depends on food. Food always depends on rain. Then Prabhupada says, yagyad bhavati parjanyo. Rain actually depends on yagya. And he gave that example that he went to Hyderabad, there had been a huge drought, and they held Sankirtan, and it rained like anything. So by sacrifice, things are going on. And by refusing to offer sacrifice, there's disruption. Yagyad bhavati parjanyo. And yagya karma samudra. How do you perform sacrifice? If you're not working, there's not going to be any sacrifice. So sacrifice comes from work. You are prescribed duties. Because you're performing your prescribed duties, now you can offer sacrifice. Because you're offering sacrifice, the demigods are pleased. They're providing for prosperity. And you get food, you get everything. We're making our shortcuts. We're not going to do any sacrifice, so we're going to have our plastic food. But actually, Krishna's system is better.
Rain from the ocean. He says you have to do yoga. And this person wanted to talk on so many topics which he thought were higher. And Prabhupada said, you have to learn to do yoga. He was just treating him like a kindergarten child. And it turns out now, because there's so much shortage of rain in Perth, that now they're spending $500 million on a desalinization plant to get water from the ocean.
Finally, water, we all depend on rain. If there's no rain, human civilization is dead. It depends on rain. And rain does not come simply by scientific progress. It doesn't work. And they're always finding some way to outsmart nature, and nature always kicks them in the head. Global warming, this and that. You know, they're going to exploit nature, but nature always one-ups them.
Sankirtan is a good way to exploit nature.
Sankirtan is?
If somebody wants to exploit nature by Sankirtan.
Exploit nature by Sankirtan? How is that?
If the material scientists know, get to know that if you perform Sankirtan, you'll get rain and therefore stuff.
That's good. Now they're trying to exploit nature without Hare Krishna. Let them chant Hare Krishna for exploiting material nature.
Yeah.
And by chanting Hare Krishna, they gradually get some proper direction, they'll see. No, it's not meant for exploitation. Exploitation is the problem, not the solution. Yeah. I want to finish this chain, so why don't I plow ahead a little bit here. Then comes the next step. So rain comes from... Food comes from rain. Rain comes from sacrifice. Sacrifice comes from prescribed duties. And where do prescribed duties come from? Where do prescribed duties come from? From the Vedas. How do you know what your prescribed duty is? Karma brahmodbhavam vidhi. Brahmakshara samudbhavam. And where do the Vedas come from?
The breathing.
They come from, from the Lord, from Akshara. Akshara means the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Tasmat. What's tasmat?
Therefore.
Sarvagatam brahma nityam yagye pratishtitam. The all-pervading absolute truth is present in sacrifice. If you're performing sacrifices, you're connected with the Vedas. If you're performing prescribed duties from which sacrifice is going to be offered, hey, you're connected with the Vedas. What does that mean? It means you're connected with the Supreme. Simply because you're following the Vedic direction, now you've got a connection. we've got a connection. Then, of course, Prabhupada said, so the Vedic directions are so made that one can satisfy one's perverted desires, desire to enjoy the material world, then return to Godhead, having finished his so-called enjoyment. It's a chance for the conditioned souls to attain liberation. Therefore, the conditioned souls must try to follow the process of yajna by becoming Krishna conscious. Even those who've not followed the Vedic injunctions may adopt the principles of Krishna consciousness, and that will take the place of performance of Vedic yajnas or karmas. So in this age, again, the summary study of yajna is chant Hare Krishna. Okay? We'll do one more verse, because this concludes the chain. Evam pravartitam chakram. Chakra means?
Circle.
Evam pravartitam chakram. Nanu vartayati haya aghayur indriya ramo mogam parthasabhita. If a person doesn't follow this system, if he doesn't make himself part of the circle, then agha ayu, ayu means his duration of life, is agha, sinful. And indriya rama, where is he getting his pleasure?
Senses.
Simply from the senses. And what is his life? Mogam participita. He's just living for illusion. He's living for nothing. If you're following the Vedas, you're going to get somewhere. Gradually you'll get to the Supreme. And if you don't follow the Vedic directions, if you just act whimsically, you won't get it. You'll just act sinfully. You'll become a thief. Yobhum te stene evasa. You'll just be a thief taking from nature and not giving, not acknowledging where you're getting everything from. You'll set yourself up as if you were the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know, everything is meant for my enjoyment. And you'll remain entangled in this material world. And if you follow, if you become part of the circle, you'll live happily in this life and attain liberation. Udo vacha prajapati anenab anavishta tvam. What is that? Aishas bows Krishna kamadhu. Okay, now questions.
There is a common argument that if things are as you explained, as Krishna explained, then why is it that a pious country like India is so ridden with droughts and lack of fertile land?
Where are we sitting? India is not poor. India has the real stuff. I mean, India, you can sit under a chiku tree, a coconut tree, or this kind of tree, or that kind of tree. In America, you can go and, you know, buy food that was imported from India.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like ripened with gas and this and that. I mean, here we are in this nice environment, and you can go back to the nice advanced civilization and live on, you know, in the middle of concrete with machines rushing around in every direction and work in a little office creating something useless. That's not prosperity. The more they introduce the Western way of life here, the more it becomes problematic. Actually, even in America, as soon as you get outside the cities, it becomes nice again. because these cities are made by man, and the country is made by God. Even in the other cultures, they know that the first thing is that we, you know, they're living an agricultural way of life. They get their grains and fruits and vegetables, and first thing they, you know, first harvest or whatever, they offer to God. Right? It's not just India or Hinduism. This is their, you know, and harvest rituals, you know, mythology and everything. But what is it? They get something from nature and they offer. By, you know, some divine power, we've been able to get these things. So we have to acknowledge our debt. Even the, like, savages have some, you know, very simple cultures. They understand these things. And we're so advanced that it's just, you know, grab this, grab that, bomb these people, bomb those people. And what do you get? Akhayu or Indriya Rama? Do you make advancement in happiness in this life and liberation in the next? By creating an artificial way of life and exploiting the people of other countries. Yeah, America's like the most prosperous because you can buy anything, you know, that was made by laborers that you're paying like slave wages to. And they're, you know, they're sitting in this factory, you know, knitting sweaters for you, and each sweater that they produce, they get, you know, half a penny. And so you're enjoying prosperity. But at what price? Therefore, we'll all catch up with you. Just like a thief, he's enjoying. Who said crime doesn't pay? It pays.
Yeah. It works.
It works. You know, crime doesn't pay my elbow. It certainly pays.
For a while.
For a while, and then they kind of start catching up with you. So that's how it is. You know, these big empires and big exploiters and big, you know, scientists, and you know, you can't tell us. Yeah, you'll get something immediate. That's preya. You get some immediate result, and long term, materially, you screw everything up, and you go to hell. This global warming has become a big thing.
GMO.
Right? Yeah, GMO, your genetically modified food. You know, they don't know what they're creating. They're, you know, when I was a kid, we have a couple minutes. We don't have a couple minutes, but when I was a kid, they were talking about, this is the 1950s, harnessing nuclear energy for, you know, peace. In fact, there was a program, Atoms for Peace. Atoms for Peace. And they had a little, I forget where, in what context it was. It was like a, you know, education or kids show or something. Our friend the Atom. It shows this little Atom, you know, with
a
friendly smile or something. I forget. Remember our friend the Atom?
No, I'm not.
Anyway, there was our friend the Atom. The present situation, I was talking with a devotee who's working in, yeah, he's an Indian devotee studying at MIT, doing his doctorate, and his doctorate is being sponsored by, his whole education is being sponsored by one of the American departments of the government, because his dissertation has to do with disposal of atomic waste. They have so damn much atomic waste
that
they do not know what to do with it.
Afraid of,
you know, from all their nuclear reactors that are producing, first of all, weapons, and second of all, atoms for peace, generating electricity and, you know, all sorts of good things. They've got so much nuclear waste that they did some program, and they, just to figure out what to do with it would take them 20 years. This fellow, he's working on a project like, for example, what do we do about the tanks that this stuff is in? Mm-hmm. And since they've been there for like now 15 years or so, the thermometers have corroded.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the instruments that tell us what the state of this stuff is have melted. We don't even know what's going on with this stuff. And the tanks are leaking. What do we do? You know, do we, and then some of it, you know, the low-level radiation stuff, they say, well, we could melt it and, you know, we could liquefy it and mix it with glass and then put it in these glass bars and then it becomes, you can handle it. But number one, that's terribly expensive, and number two, that's only for the low-level stuff and it hasn't solved your, you know, they've got like, if you get into it, they've got so many, well, we could do this, we could do that, but the end of the story is, they got so darn much of it, they don't know what in hell to do with it. And they're producing more every day.
Yeah.
So sure, they're exploiting material nature. Sure, we don't need God, we don't need demigods for crying out loud. All we need is our friend the atom. But our friend is starting to look like he's going to bite us. Hard. And, you know, that's only one example. There's so many. You know, the automobile was going to be our friend. It was going to make it, you know, now it's like biting us all over the world. You know, the greatest monuments of civilization. Go to Athens. The place is so polluted. It makes Calcutta look like Arizona.
Yeah.
It's so polluted. The Parthenon, the great monument of Greek civilization, is melting. They don't know what they're doing.
Maya, he's going back to his point like that. India, in these guys, once near Porbandar where I was staying, we went to one village. We thought, oh, these are very poor huts and all that. So we went to distribute prasadam. So we cooked, and when we went with many boys, we gave them prasadam, everything. We thought, oh, we're doing well. We were surprised. At the end of prasadam, everything, they loaded our car with so many sacks of potatoes, you know, if we could last for months. Then we said, oh, you know, our judgment was wrong. Their houses, their huts or whatever, they clean with cow dung, living a pure spiritual life.
If you live simply in cooperation, with, you know, even throw out demigods for the moment, throw out God. Just nature. How do you live more happily and prosperously? Fighting against nature or cooperating with nature?
Cooperating.
But they don't get it. They think we're going to, you know, wring everything out of nature. We're going to, you know, we've got this chemical, so we'll get more. You know, it's totally backfired, the Green Revolution. You know, they introduced into India, you know, huge production. All you need is these pesticides. And then, you know, India's stuck with these pesticides that in other parts of the world that, you know, they banned.
Yeah.
You know, so it's simple. Where do you get more? By cooperating with, you know, going with the current or fighting against the current? By cooperating with nature or fighting nature? You get more by cooperating. Okay, we've made progress. Now, how is nature working? Is it working on its own? Or is there some higher power behind it? Well, if a person's living simply and naturally, and he's got some proper source of information, even if he's just intuitively together, no, there must be some higher power behind all this. Certainly, you know, the crops are coming out of the ground. I mean, it's miraculous. You plant a seed, you stick this little round thing in the ground, you pour water on it for a while, and the next thing you know, you've got, you know,
multiplies by
you've got chikus, or you've got papayas, or you've got, you know, spinach, or you've got this, or you've got that. You've got all this stuff that just grows out of the ground. You know what? It's just like a material thing. You can't do that with plastic. But the ground is made in such a way that if you just add this water to it, and if the sun shines, which we don't provide either, these wonderful things come out that have taste, that offer nourishment, and all this great stuff comes. And, you know, not only that, like if you take, say, a coconut tree, what do you get? You get coconut water, you get the coconut fruit, you get wood from the tree, you get you get coconut oil, which you can use for your body, for your hair, for your cooking, for massage.
Roofing material.
You get roofing material, you get fences, you get broomsticks, you get spoons. You want one kind of spoon, you can get it from the leaves. You want a bigger, heavy-duty, industrial-grade spoon, you cut the coconut shell in half and put a stick in it, and you got a big spoon. If you want to light a fire, you've got the husk of the coconut, you dry it out, and it's great for making fires.
I have some coconut paper in my room.
You can make paper out of it, you can make rope out of it. You get shade from it while we're at it. So many things you get. That's one plant created by that comes out of the ground. Now, is that cool or what? So that's nature's arrangement. And an intelligent person will look at that and say, wow, that's like just too good. That couldn't have happened automatically. There's got to be something behind that. That's intelligence. And if you've got Vedic direction, then you can know precisely who's behind that and go back to Godhead, chant His holy name, go back to Godhead, and make your life successful. That's the program. But it begins with cooperation. To see that everything's coming from food, the food's coming from rain, the rain's coming from sacrifice, the sacrifice is coming from our work, the work's coming from the knowledge that we're getting from the Vedas, and God is there in the Vedic knowledge. So let me take part in this system instead of this demonic grab it all and run thief system. Okay? So now we've talked about duties, and we'll talk a little bit more starting tomorrow about people who have no duties and other such. We'll get into the ins and outs of duties. Who has to work, who doesn't have to work, what you do if you don't have to work.
On the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam.
I should actually end. I'm taking a question. Why don't you hold your question until tomorrow, because we've already gone 15 minutes over time, which is against the rules. And goodbye.
All right.
Hare
Krishna. Jai. 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 Jai.